Let us prepare our hearts for worship.
When I closed my eyes so I would not see,
my Lord did trouble me.
When I let things stand that should not be,
my Lord did trouble me.
When I held my head too high, too proud,
my Lord did trouble me.
When I raised my voice too little, too loud,
my Lord did trouble me. Did trouble me with a word or sign, with a ringing of a bell in the back of my mind. Did trouble me, did stir my soul, for to make me human, to make me whole.
When I slept too long, I slept too deep,
my Lord did trouble me.
Put a worrisome vision into my sleep,
my Lord did trouble me.
When I held myself away and apart,
my Lord did trouble me.
And the tears of my brother didn't move my heart,
my Lord did trouble me. Did trouble me with a word or sign, with a ringing of a bell in the back of my mind. Did trouble me, did stir my soul, for to make me human, to make me whole.
And of this I'm sure, of this I know,
my Lord will trouble me.
Whatever I do and wherever I go,
trouble me.
In the whisper of the wind, in the rhythm of a song,
my Lord will trouble me.
Keep me on the path where I belong,
my Lord will trouble me.
Will trouble me with a word or sign, with a ringing of a bell in the back of my mind. Will trouble me, will stir my soul.
Well, good morning and welcome. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so nice to have you all here for this, our 213th homecoming. So welcome. There'll be a meal afterwards. We hope you'll stay and join us for some nice fellowship. There'll be a time of announcements later on. But I invite you to stand as we begin our worship service with music and a lot of it. We got two hymns that'll just follow one after the other. The first is 454, Open My Eyes That I May See, and we'll lead into number 377. Let's stand as we offer our praise.
Thank you.
I invite you to remain standing as we turn in the back of our hymnals to the Affirmations of Faith, to number 881, as we together recite the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated, and I invite our church historian, Rick Moorhead, to come for his moment for history.
Good morning. Albeit it may be raining, but what a beautiful morning it is. What a glorious day we're having. What a wonderful time for a homecoming. Welcome, everyone, to your 2014 homecoming celebration. When I was 11 or 12, I decided that I would like to learn to play the guitar. So my parents contacted Dunham's Music House downtown and arranged for me to begin taking lessons once a week after school. About 3 years later, my guitar teacher came to me one day and he said, "Rick, I have taught you all I can." Now, before you get the wrong idea, and I don't think you did, what my guitar teacher so diplomatically meant was that it was a waste of his time and my parents' money because I just did not seem to be getting any better. You see, other interests, girls and other things, had taken the place of guitar lessons, and I was not willing to sacrifice them for the sake of committing to the time required to learn to play well. In August of 1771, Francis Asbury, then aged 26, found himself bound for America, and he bade his parents farewell as he committed himself to preaching in the colonies. At their parting, his father, overcome with tears, cried out, "I shall never see him again." Leaving his mother was even worse. True to his father's prophecy, he never saw his parents again. Asbury had placed his future in God's hands, and that future lie in America. And of all the preachers that Wesley sent to these shores, Asbury was the only one to remain when the American Revolution began. His exploits in bringing Methodism to the frontier attest to the fact that his sacrifices were indeed monumental. During the Civil War in the 1860s, men from both North and South committed themselves to fighting for what they believed. Thousands sacrificed everything, including their lives, for those beliefs. Here at Asbury, three women dedicated themselves to keeping the church alive, while husbands, sons, fathers, and brothers fought and in many cases died on the battlefield. When this present building was constructed in the late 1920s, Asheville and Buncombe County were enjoying a real estate and building boom, the likes of which this area had not known up until that time. And as often happens during boom times, there ultimately comes the bust. People lost millions. Every bank in town closed. Asbury, at the time, found themselves in possession of a building, at the time, valued at over $50,000, with $10,000 in outstanding debt, and contributions slowed to a very trickle. Heroic efforts were made by the congregation to address this problem. One member, Claude Fellman, mortgaged his home in order to pay on the debt for the church. Another spent days picking blackberries, selling them for a dollar a gallon in order to contribute $50 to the cause. We even have record that the contribution of 50 cents was a reason for celebration. Every time I think of this, I think of the widow's mite. Eventually, the debt was paid off, but only by dedication and great sacrifice was this building and property secured for generations to come. This church has been blessed by countless individuals who have been committed to and willing to sacrifice for the future of this historic church. People like Claude Fellman, June Bassett, Lucille Oates, Dick Davis, and Ann Perkins. Perhaps one of the most devoted members ever was Mrs. Alice Rice. Here are but a few examples from the journals that she kept. 1945. At the Thanksgiving supper, we made enough to pay off the organ. After washing up, I stayed to help put up the church Christmas tree, finished two angel wings, washed the church's dirty dish towels. For the church bazaar, I sewed two pillowcases, a clothespin apron, and baked two applesauce cakes. We made $100. Now, before I go any further, there's something you need to know about Mrs. Rice. She was a widower, and she walked practically everywhere she went, and she did not live right across the road. She lived quite a ways up Merriman Avenue toward town. I walked over to church to get the youth hymn books to mend. Walked over to church to build fires so that we would be comfortable for evening meeting. Had a good walk, collecting for Mother's Day. And later on, when she was 89 years old, she wrote, "I walked to the church to rake leaves, but I couldn't find the rake." Commitment and sacrifice go hand in hand. It's hard to imagine one without the other. Our church today, just as in times past, is in need of our commitment and our sacrifices. We, as members of Asbury Memorial, have a responsibility to all those who labored so hard and gave so much of themselves to ensure that this church, the oldest Methodist congregation in this part of the state, and I don't mean age-wise, will continue and has a bright future and will meet the needs of all those who call on us. Happy 213th birthday, Asbury Memorial. We here stand willing and ready to labor so that you and we may enjoy many, many more.
Can I invite our children to come down for our children's time? Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are y'all? Y'all look so nice today. What do you think this is? Yeah, it's a piece of, well, it's not burnt. It's kind of decayed a little bit, isn't it? This is a piece of wood from outside our church right out here. From what used to be an oak tree that was known as the kitty tree. Why do you think it was called that? Because a cat ran up? No, that's what you might think. But actually, it was called that because there was a guy who used to come to church here who was a professor, and his name was Horace King. And his name's actually on this window right here. He lived from 1842 until 1926. And back then, you didn't really have cars all that much. So you didn't have a parking problem around here back then. But you know what he would ride to come to church? Close, almost a horse, a mule. He would ride a mule, and take a guess what that mule's name was. Kitty. That's right. And he would hitch Kitty, the reins of Kitty, to that tree so that Kitty wouldn't wander off during the service. And so that tree became known as the Kitty tree. Let me just read you this little bit right here that's in our history that was done in 1991. It says, Professor Horace King, Civil War veteran and school teacher, served Mount Pleasant Church, that's what this church used to be called a long, long time ago, as the superintendent of Sunday school for 40 years. And it talks about how automobiles were not common during that time. And the kitty tree was there in 1879 when the log church was removed to make room for a frame church. There were actually two other churches that have been built here, and this is the third building that we've had. That's how old this place is. And so that tree was here until 1979. I was 1 year old. How old were you? Negative, right? Zero, yeah. It was, 1979 was when that tree finally had to come down. It was diseased. But the stump has still been there. But you know what? When I look at this stump, I see just, you know, a bunch of dead wood, right? I mean, it's almost turned into dirt, isn't it? And there's not much left out here of that stump, and this was about the biggest chunk of it. Uh-oh. Rick did it. Cynthia did it. I didn't do it, not me. But it's almost gone. But you know what? That stump, even though it's no longer a tree, and even though it's decaying, it's providing all sorts of nutrients to the things that are growing there right now, to the grass and the flowers that are around it. And so whenever we look around church and we see all these names in the windows, those were people who were very good and faithful members at our church and who did lots of stuff. Rick had talked earlier about sacrifice and commitment. And so all of these people through the years have done so much to help our church and to help others and the poor and the needy in our community. And so I hope that you all will see them and that you'll remember that you're following in their footsteps and that it's your responsibility too to help those who are in need and to continue this legacy of the church that we have here. So I'm so happy to see all of you all this morning up here, and I know you're excited to do great things for Jesus, even in the week that's coming up ahead of us. So let's have a quick prayer. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for those who have come before us, and we thank you for allowing us to serve in their footsteps. And, oh Lord, we ask that you be with us this week. Help us as we're in school and in our jobs. And be with us, oh Lord, that we might do it all for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all. We're not having children's church today, but there's lots of fun stuff for y'all to do over there. And I need someone to help me with the bread tin.
I'd like to remind everybody, and particularly if you're a guest and don't know what this is, the bread tin offering is something that the children collect, and every month we choose a different organization or purpose to devote this money to. It's always part of missions. Which reminds me that at least once or twice in the past, it's been for the Haywood Street Church, of which Brian Combs, the pastor, is our guest preacher today. And if Brian doesn't mind me using him as an exhibit just a little bit, I'd like to remind everybody what the Haywood Street Church does. Remember that Jesus said that those whom he praised were those who had clothed the naked, who had fed the hungry, who had given home to the homeless, who had rescued people from prison. And when his disciples said, well, we never did any of those things, he said, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me, my brethren. And the Haywood Street congregation ought to remind us that that sort of mission is, in fact, at the heart of Christianity. John Wesley, whom we've been talking about today, also said, the world is my parish, and the world is our parish. And the Haywood Street congregation, more than most of us, is at the interface between the church and the world. And I'm thankful that Brian does the wonderful work that he does, and sometimes with our help. So let's make him, I don't even know what he's going to talk about, but that's what it was on my heart to say that about Brian today.
Thank you, Eric. I'd also draw your attention to the other announcements that are listed here in our bulletin. In particular, I'd like to remind everyone that there is food and that we will be eating it immediately after the service, just directly below us in the fellowship hall, and everyone's invited for that. Next Sunday, we look forward to hearing Ellen's message as we celebrate Laity Sunday. And there is next Sunday also a listening session on the future that our bishop, Bishop Goodpastor, will be doing at Central Methodist in Asheville at 2 p.m. And so everyone's invited to come and dialogue and listen to what the bishop has to say about the future of our church and our conference. Also, please note the other announcements about the major events that are coming up, the Friendship Circle Soup and Salad Luncheon on the 2nd, and, of course, Mark and Mary Jo Smith's renewing of their vows. So, and one other announcement that I have is from Christians for a United Community, who we're active with. There is a lecture series that's planned on the book The 13th Turn, A History of the Noose, by Dr. Jack Schuler, and that will be this coming Tuesday, the 14th, at 7 p.m. at First Congregational Church downtown, 20 Oak Street. So everyone's invited to that as well. Are there other announcements that may have been missed? Well, if not, let me turn it over to our special music.
Of place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God, a place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of full release, near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God.
Well, I invite you to join with me before our scripture lesson is read and our prayer for illumination is printed in our bulletins. Let us pray together. Holy Spirit of God, shine your light upon this word and into our hearts, that we may be enlightened with fresh understanding. Amen. And Brian, it's my pleasure on behalf of our church to welcome you this day and to hear your message. Thank you.
This is a homecoming of sorts for me. At least twice a week, I park my truck on the edge of your church property and ride my bike up Elk Mountain and come by. And so this place is in my heart. And I grew up with Mosley family at Camp Dakoa, and Curtis and I consider ourselves friends. And so thank you for inviting me to this incredible occasion, homecoming. It is one of the mountain traditions that I love the most. So Merritt, thank you for the introduction. Curtis, thank you for the invitation. Oak Ridge, Tennessee was a boom town, and people from all over came for the temporary work, and with them they brought their hard hats and their trailers and their families. And Fred Craddock, well, he was serving his first church nearby. It's a beautiful church, white decorated chimneys, kerosene lamps. Every pew was hand-hewn from a poplar tree, and after worship one Sunday, Craddock said to the leaders, "I want to have a meeting. I think we ought to start a calling campaign. An invitational campaign to all the folks in the trailer park, you know, invite them to church." Well, one of the leaders spoke up and said, "No, I'm not so sure about that. I don't know if they'll fit in here. You know, they're temporaries. They're just construction types." Craddock said, "Well, at least while they're here, they probably ought to have a place to call home on Sundays." So back and forth they went until finally it came up for a vote, and one of the leaders raised his hand and said, "I move that in order to join this church, in order to be a member, you've got to own property in this county." Craddock said, "I could not dissent more." And they quickly told him, "You are a young kid preacher and you don't have a vote around here." And someone seconded the motion and it passed. And it passed. Our scripture today, friends, is a hard one. It's one of the hardest ones Jesus ever utters. And I invite you to follow along in your bulletin and consider this question: what exactly is God judging in this parable that Jesus tells? He says there was a landowner who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenant seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to them, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected had become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Katie reminded me it's been 2 years. So for those of you that were here 2 years ago, you remember we like to preach the sermon together. We do that because at Haywood Street, when you're in ministry with the mentally ill and those who are homeless and addicted, those are folks that never get to be heard. They never get to be seen. And so we all preach together as a way to upend what the world does to us so the kingdom comes a little closer. So you all get to help preach the sermon whether you came prepared or not. All right, what is God judging? You just heard this very, very difficult parable. What is God judging? What's that? What's in their heart? God is judging what's in their heart. Tell me more. How so?
Well, is he judging the heart to say that the example is we should return like for like?
You should return like for like. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, let's remember, the tenants had an agreement with God, and they reneged on that. And so what is in your heart? You should return what's in your heart. Yes. Remember the original agreement. Absolutely. What else? What else is God judging? Deeds? Say more about that. How so?
Producing the fruit.
Yes, producing the fruit. Yes.
Yes,
produce the fruit or you'll be thrown out. It's a real indictment on these tenants who have been charged with one task, that is to grow the vineyard. I was reading about a homecoming, a church similar to this, and you know, homecomings are great because people come back from all over. They've moved away. It's been 50 years since they returned. And one of the guys stood up and said, "I'm so glad to be back here in my home church. It's been 50 years since I've worshiped with you, and not a thing has changed." That's actually an incredible indictment of the church. Not a thing has changed. Oh, we're still toiling away in the fields, but nothing is really growing here. Yeah, if you don't produce, you're out. It's a tough message. Yeah. What else is God judging? Their behavior. Yeah, it's despicable. What about their behavior do you think God's judging?
The fact that they're inviting others to come in and yet killing them.
Yes. Yes, God keeps inviting these folks and they keep getting stoned and killed. Yes, God sends his most trusted and most trusted are killed. There's an interesting point that's raised by the scripture, and that is if God is a absent landowner, then that means most of our discipleship happens without God watching. Do you still act as a Christian even when you think God is out in another country? I know a lot of Christians who are very Christian-like when the spotlight's on, when they know someone's taking notes. But you've all heard the joke, we are Christians for an hour on Sunday morning. What about the rest of the week? What about the rest of the week? When we think God is somewhere else, do we still act in God's name? Yeah. Choir, what do you think? What's God judging?
Being
Human beings can't figure out what God's going to do. Say more about that, Merritt. Yeah, sure. God's ways are mysterious. You got to remember at this point in Matthew, the disciples think they've got it all figured out. And one of the things that they're upset most with Jesus about is him saying, well, I'm going to have to make a sacrifice. I'm going to have to make a commitment to the gospel. That is the last thing they want to hear. And Jesus has a very stern rebuke for those who think they understand God's mysterious ways. Yeah. Anybody else? What's God judging? Integrity. Oh, that's a big one. Yeah, absolutely. What happens when no one's around? Absolutely. Absolutely. Well into his career, Fred Craddock decided to take his wife, Nettie, back to that area of the world, Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Because he had told Nettie the story about what had happened, and he wanted to visit that old church so she could see for herself. And there it was in the pine trees, gleaming white, but something was different, Craddock said. Well, there in the parking lot, there were a bunch of greasy motorcycles and jacked up trucks, and there were cars everywhere, and out front, there was this enormous blinking neon sign, and it said, barbecue, all you can eat. It was no longer a church, it was now a restaurant, so Craddock and his wife went in. Well, there in the corner was the organ pushed to the side, and the pews, well, they were stacked up with dust on them. And Craddock leaned over to his wife and he said, well, it's a good thing this is not a church anymore. Otherwise, all these people would not be welcome here. It's a good thing this place is not a church anymore. Otherwise, all these people would not be welcome here. You see, for the wicked tenants, greed turns to violence, and violence turns to larceny, and larceny turns to murder. All in the pursuit of possession. My salvation, my money, my country, my church, my people, my property. To own something is to possess it solely for self-interest, to lord over it. To own something is to possess something solely for self-interest, to lord over it. What's God judging? Our attempts to be an emperor over an empire, a feudal ruler over a fiefdom, refusing to acknowledge that the acreage is never going to be for sale, that God will never be foreclosed upon, and that no matter how much sweat equity we put in, the deed is never going to be transferred. You see, the tenants, they killed the son, says Barbara Brown Taylor, but he would not stay dead. No, instead, he's still out there haunting the vineyard, reminding all of us that we are God's guests. Welcome as long as we remember whose it is. This is the good news of this very, very difficult scripture. Jesus calls us to labor in fields that we did not plow, to pick harvest fruit that we did not plant, and to jingle the keys to a kingdom that we do not own. Here it is, friends. We are God's sharecroppers. We are God's sharecroppers. And for over 200 years, this church has been God's sharecroppers. Keep it up, Asbury Memorial. Amen.
Our hymn is number 354.
Thank you. Let us go to God in prayer. Good morning, God. We're gathered to praise you once again. We come from many places today as we celebrate the life of Asbury Memorial United Methodist Church. But we've all come to this sacred service in a time of remembering, a time we hope will lead into catching up and looking into the years to come, a time when we hope we will never have to say, it's a good thing this isn't a church anymore. The pews have been stacked up. Thankfully, our pews are open, and folks are coming to sit in them. We remember today those who kept their faithful eye upon you so that we can be here this day. Be with each of us that we may engage our gifts to glorify you even more than those who brought us to this time and place. Lord, in your mercy, we ask for the grace to rely upon you in our ministries, the grace to trust you, and the grace to live in your love now and forever. We thank you today for the stories of Fred Craddock, Daniel Killian, the Kitty Tree, and all the faithful who have built your church and your church here at Asbury. May we be faithful in continuing this ministry. May we be good sharecroppers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And so we ask, what does it mean to continue your ministry here at Asbury? What, O God, do you require of us but to open our hearts to receive and give your goodness and love? What, O God, do you require of us? To do justice, to stand in unity with the exiled and the marginalized. What, O God, do you require of us? But to love kindness, to show mercy and compassion to everyone we meet. What, O God, do you require of us? But to walk humbly and to faithfully go where Jesus calls and sends us. Guide us on this path. Hold our hands when we are weary. Carry us when we feel we can walk no more. Lord, in your mercy. We can each turn in the bulletin and see a long list of names that have asked for prayers, or others have asked for prayers of them. We lift up those who we remember when we gather in this holy place. We lift up those names listed this day. We lift up Deborah Wilkshire, who has broken her shoulder, and Dolores Schoonover. And we ask that you hear the prayers that are heavy on our hearts at this time. Dear God, be present to each and every one of these and help us to remember to lift their names between now and next Sunday, to pray to you and to praise you and to call on your name for guidance, that this isn't just a Sunday morning time of relationship, but it is a through-the-week relationship that we build on day by day, hour by hour. Lord, in your mercy. We especially ask your blessings upon our fellowship this day, for all those who have brought food, all who have come to share in food and fellowship. And may our sharing be rich and deep and not just surface how are yous. Allow us to sit with one another and hear stories. and share stories. Allow us now to pray as your Son, our Savior, taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us stand and join together in the singing of hymn number 382, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
Displayed. soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away our sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Thank you. Let us rise as we sing together the doxology. Let us pray. Gracious God, for all the blessings of this life, past, present, and future, we give you our utmost thanks and praise. Accept these, our gifts to you, O Lord, that they might go to alleviate suffering and to spread your love both here and abroad. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I invite you to remain standing for our final hymn, which is printed there in our bulletins. All the Way My Savior Leads Me. You all will have to help me on this one because I don't know it and pick this out. Well, let's remain standing as we offer our praise.